Ron Gordon, Edward Jones. Ron, it's kind of like the theme for the markets right now is like Jaws. You know, da-da-da-da-da-da.
Yep.
Remember that? And, of course, everyone's wondering.
Anticipation.
Okay, exactly. Where is the interest rate going? And that's tomorrow, right? Tomorrow, the interest rate jumps out of the water, right?
That's right. And so, yeah, all eyes are on that Fed. So interest rates have been moving higher as our 10-year is up over 3%, and the 2-year yield is up over 2.7%. So not a lot of difference between the 10-year and the 2-year.
Is this going to make a big difference for people who are actually trying to save, like in cash or something like that? Is it going to boost up bank returns at this point? Or is this for, like, you know, bonds only, that kind of thing? I don't know how much that gets affected.
Yeah, you know, I don't think that we're going to see the banks actually raise their interest rates on money markets or anything like that.
Of course they won't.
They want somebody to tie up their money if they're going to take advantage of the higher interest rates, right? They want that money to be locked in. So the Fed's meeting is tomorrow. We're all in the marketplace. We're pretty certain it's going to be a 50 basis point increase. We're going to be keeping an ear out, though, for what the Fed's message is around the possibility of further outsized rate hikes. And so,
So a 0.5% tomorrow is pretty much baked in the cake for the expectation. But the concern is, like, how many more 0.5% are coming, right?
That's it. Is how many more 0.5%? Are we looking at possibly a 75 basis point, you know, a 0.75% interest rate?
Whoa, that would be a wallop, wouldn't it, for a lot of those borrowers?
It would be, considering that Fed Chair Powell has said that, you know, we're going to try and get ahead of this inflation, so we're going to raise rates faster than we had originally anticipated.
All right, we'll see I guess we'll just keep on waiting because the market's relatively flat today. So other than that, the calm before the storm, what's your number? People could call you up if they're looking to maybe make an adjustment, thinking like, I'm in a dangerous spot. Please help me, Ron Gordon. What's your number?
Yeah, so go ahead, give me a phone call, 541-734-0070. Again, that's 541-734-0070. Big things to keep in mind is we've got a seminar coming up on May 17th. Going to have a tax professional come in and talk about capital gains, including the capital gains on cryptocurrencies, which that's something that a lot of people haven't recognized. So she'll be talking about some of that stuff. If you're interested in that, I've only got 20 spots available, so please give me a call and get your name on that list as soon as possible. Thank you so much, Bill.
All right, thank you. I'm so glad you talked about the crypto. I sold crypto a couple of years ago. Boy, did I get hosed on the taxes. It was insane, you know, what happened to me.
Yeah, and they have completely changed. So it's not like it's a completely different way of calculating taxes than they've done on other things. So It's a very interesting situation, and that's why I figured that it would be good for my
all right, good.
And all everybody right. Knowing about it. Thank you so much, Bill.
Thank you, my friend. We'll talk tomorrow, 11 minutes after 8. We'll catch up. Kim Komando's digital update coming up here. And constitutional law attorney Jonathan W. E. Moore. Gosh, what is there to talk about with the law in courts? We'll think of something.
The Southern Oregon Home Show is coming to the Expo this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Be sure to stop by and see the Hughes Lumber Company booth for all your building materials and products. They'll be featuring the products of TimberTech, decking, railing, and lighting. There'll be TimberTech Home Show specials, along with product information and staff to answer all your construction questions. Hughes Lumber on Crater Lake Highway, next to Garrison's, and this weekend at the Home Show.
In Southern Oregon, serious crime is spiraling out of control. Homelessness is on the rise, and drug cartels have overrun our communities with illegal marijuana operations. In short, our way of life is in jeopardy. We need a fighter who will protect us. That's why Southern Oregon needs Randy Sparacino as our next state senator. As mayor and retired police chief, Randy Sparacino has spent his whole life serving and protecting us, which is why he's the trusted choice in the race for state senate. Randy Sparacino backs the blue, and they support him too. He's the only candidate endorsed by the Oregon Chiefs of Police Association and the Sheriffs of Oregon. We can trust Randy Sparacino to serve and protect us. We can trust him to restore safety in the communities of Southern Oregon. Vote Republican Randy Sparacino for State Senate. Learn more at randysparacino.com. Paid for by Sparacino for Oregon, 20676.
Spring into savings all month at the all-new Hyundai Medford. With gas prices rising, large SUVs and trucks will cost you thousands. Get more for your trade before it's too late. And drive home in your new Hyundai today. Do you have a job? Do you clear $350 per week? Do you want a new ride? At Hyundai Medford, we have hundreds of new Hyundais en route. Just because you don't see it on the lot doesn't mean you can't drive it home tomorrow. With zero down and zero payments for 120 days. All with a Hyundai Assurance and America's best 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty. If you're currently stuck in a loan or lease, Hyundai Medford can help get you released. With zero down payment and zero payments for 120 days.
This is Mitch Parker. If you're not 100% satisfied, come see me before you leave.
HyundaiMedford.com.
Unapproved credit, plus tax, title, license, and 150 title and registration processing fee. Not all will qualify. OCCU Credit Union, negative equity, refinance to new loan. Rebates and incentives to dealer. Offers not in combination, expires 5-6-2022.
99.3 KCMD, FM 106.7 KMED, and this is the Bill Myers Show.
Jonathan W. Emord, a constitutional law attorney, author of The Authoritarians, Their Assault on Individual Liberty, the Constitution, and Free Enterprise from the 19th Century to the Present. Well, I'll tell you, that's a never-ending novel, that's for sure, Jonathan. And welcome back. I know there's nothing to talk about involving the courts in law or anything happening in D.C., but I'm glad you took some time to come on in anyway. Welcome, sir.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Townhall.com. You have a brand new column which is up there. Something tells me, and we're going to talk about the DHS disinformation situation, too, because I think that's a longer-term problem for sure. But with the leak of the Supreme Court opinion here, and it's looking pretty legit at this point, wouldn't you say? I mean, it looked. I don't think anyone's denying it, but it looks pretty real to me. But I'm not a trained eye on this. What do you say?
Well, it does look as though it's a real draft of the majority opinion. It doesn't mean that it is not subject to further editing and refinement. There are no concurrences or dissenting opinions accompanying it, so it is definitely in the draft stage. It constitutes, I think, the greatest breach of trust and violation of the confidentiality rules and judicial independence in the history of the court. So it is a dagger which is pointed directly at the court's independence. So it was clearly understood by whoever was doing this that they were going to unleash a political and popular firestorm. That appears to be the intention. Who else? What other motivation could there be? And it's an obstruction of justice. It's a criminal law violation of whoever did this. If it's a justice or a clerk or legal staff, they would also appropriately be acted against. A justice could be impeached if a justice did this. A clerk or legal staff could be removed from office and then also barred from the practice of law, in addition to being prosecuted for obstruction of justice.
Oh, this is a much bigger deal than I was thinking. That it's not just a matter of leaked something out there. It's actually against the rules and the law, then, from what you're telling me.
Yes. Mm. The laws of not only the rules of the Supreme Court itself, but the internal requirements for those who work there, but also it is a violation of the laws of legal ethics in every jurisdiction and would be a basis to prevent anyone from being given a law license or, if they do have a license, to continue to practice law. It's an extraordinarily serious thing because confidentiality is just essential to the deliberative process of judges. They have to have the freedom to interact with their clerks and with other judges, cognizant of the fact that their interactions will not be made public. It is decidedly a non-political branch, albeit politics invariably affects everything. If you make it overtly political, you completely destroy its ability to function as the founders intended, which is as an independent source of judicial review whereby laws could be checked for their constitutionality to function truly as guardians of the Constitution, which is their quintessential role, as Alexander Hamilton made clear in the Federalist Papers.
And I would also add that this is, I've been surprised at some time here, Jonathan W. Emord, constitutional law attorney with me this morning. I've been surprised at the strange bedfellows or friendships that get made. You wouldn't think that that certain Supreme Court justices would befriend other people who are just ideologically completely opposed. But that's not the case, which tells me that this is most likely not a justice that would do something like this, because it would seem to me that no matter your point of view on the law, it would seem to me that a justice on the Supreme Court is always there to make sure and preserve the sanctity, so to speak, of the institution itself. Do you agree with me on that?
Well, we would certainly hope not. And, you know, this is a hot issue. It is one that has caused people who are lawyers and judges to speak in sometimes what might be called hysterical terms, mm-hmm. And to be irrational. So it's until we have a suspect and evidence, it's hard to say who would be ultimately responsible. But whoever is responsible really does need to be prosecuted and removed and then prevented from being a practitioner of law. And really also, whether they have a law license or intend to practice law, they should also be barred from any position in the federal government because they just simply do not cannot be trusted, and everyone who works for government in one capacity or another is required to keep confidences. And so you certainly wouldn't want someone being able to be employed in the government again.
I'll be curious what happens, you know, this scan that was, it looks like a scan that was given to Politico or leaked to Politico. And I'm wondering if it came out of any machinery within the system itself, because, you know, all printers and scanners now do have, you know, some micro dot technology within them. You can track things down to the machines in some cases. But I imagine some big brains are thinking about that right now as the hunt is on. Wouldn't you figure?
I imagine so. And I think, you know, imagine being in the position of the justices who are innocent of wrongdoing, assuming they are. Mm-hmm. If they are indeed, you know, you can't draw to any conclusions, but certainly the majority has no incentive to reveal the information. Someone in dissent might, but I would hesitate for a moment to think that any justice would do such a thing. I mean, it would permanently alienate that person, but also would open them up to impeachment, removal from office, and so on. So I don't think there's no one there who has that degree of simplicity of thought. I think they would all have thought through anything, even if they had contemplated it. But it's more likely a clerk, a legal staff member that is responsible, but we'll have to see.
Yeah, I would agree. Jonathan W. Emord, constitutional law attorney. The actual opinion that is probably not the final one necessarily, but it certainly was laid out 100 pages, and it seemed like it was very, very well thought from Justice Alito, very well thought out. I'm kind of curious, though, why do you think there is such a focus on this one particular issue, Jonathan? Because essentially what was said, even if Roe v. Wade is overturned, it goes back to the state legislatures. And blue states like Oregon will probably likely remain with their abortion policy as it is currently in, you know, ensconced in law here. And now red states might look at this differently. What is the or is it more complex with all of these with Casey going down and with Roe v. Wade going down? Does it really unwind a lot of complexity in Washington, D.C.? What would actually happen from this?
I think it is necessarily something that is filled with emotion. I mean, people who, like me, value life and life from the point of conception are greatly disturbed by the idea that at a whim or caprice or regardless of the motivation, that a child who could actually be born is deprived of the opportunity of life. Now, there are obviously those who hold opposite views, and while I strongly disagree with them, I must say that I would strongly agree with Alito's draft in that there's no power, no provision in the Constitution which would legalize abortion.
And there never was, which I think always surprised. I remember Dershowitz was writing a few years ago that even though I'm sure he's a pro-abort, he said it was always a bad decision right from the beginning.
It was a terrible decision. And any time you have creative construction by the court beyond the Constitution, it's an invitation for reversal and disaster. Because the judges, as Thomas Jefferson put it, need to be duty-bound by the chains of the Constitution, and they are not able to change the charter of the United States at their whim or caprice. The Constitution is predicated on the consent of the governed. There's an Article 5 amendment process, but that's not given the courts. That's a super majority of the states in convention to amend the Constitution. So that process needs to be respected, and the judge's role is not to create a new Constitution, but to accept the existence of our Constitution and its restrictions on power. There's the word abortion doesn't appear in the Constitution. There is no right of privacy in the Constitution. The separate provisions that were aggregated to create this so-called right of privacy out of the quote-unquote penumbras, that's a key word suggesting alarm in creativity there and draftsmanship, simply don't have any historical predicate to give the federal government a power over abortion. To the extent that abortion is a health issue, it is a matter for the states. And, you know, so I think it's rightly decided if that is indeed the way it will ultimately be decided. But this breach of trust, you know, with an early draft or maybe a late draft for the majority.
Well, the institution is damaged, though. That's what really hurts on all of this, right? The institution of the court.
Irreparably rent. There are going to be new security measures taken. The relationship between justices, clerks, legal staff, non-legal staff, this will all change. And it's a pity because what it ultimately means is that there will be delays in decision-making, and there may be imperfect justice if an overzealous response is implemented that constricts communication in ways that does not allow for a fulsome debate and adduction of what the law is.
That makes a lot of sense, Jonathan. Jonathan W. Emore, constitutional law attorney. Jonathan, I know you're going to be you're currently writing a new piece. Are you going to have this out on townhall.com perhaps later today, maybe? Is that what you're hoping to do?
Well, I will submit it. I don't control Town Hall, but they'll hopefully publish it, and then we'll see it soon.
Yeah. I wanted to talk about your other recent piece, which was just the other day, about the DHS Disinformation Board, which, you know, the moment you hear about this, it's like, oh, all right, now I've heard everything. You know, I've heard about everything. What is your overall hot take on that particular issue? I would hope that just the First Amendment itself would invalidate such a board, but how do you see it as a constitutional law attorney?
Well, it's unquestionably unconstitutional. It's outrageous. It's one of the most egregious examples of violation of the First Amendment since the Alien and Sedition Acts in 1798. Very clearly, the Constitution affords government no power to condemn the content of communication in the marketplace. What they're talking about in particular, as Mayorkas testified, is assessment of political content. They're looking at content that may affect the election. That's the very nature of content affecting the election is classic political speech. Censorship based on the content of political speech is forbidden in the United States. And the idea that a board is going to be established to reign over all speech on the internet to determine which speech is disinformation, particularly with this Jankiewicz character who's a political hack, well established.
Oh, no. She had great experience on these sort of things. A wonderful singer and TikTok expert here. So, all right.
She's a buffoon, I believe. But I think, it's best to follow the framers' intent on this. And it was clear that the government was to have no role whatsoever over speech and press in the marketplace of ideas and information.
Well, we appreciate your opinion on this, Jonathan. The other thing I would mention here before we take off, it seems like what we're witnessing right now, even with this DHS push, seems to dovetail quite nicely with your latest book, The Authoritarians, Their Assault on Individual Liberty, the Constitution and Free Enterprise, from the 19th century to the present. So there's really nothing new in this. The Constitution doesn't protect itself, I guess. Is that pretty much what we have to come off on this?
That's right. And the evil that is manifesting itself today in such things as a disinformation board is one that has been with us for over 100 years and has largely occupied, and it occupies to this day, the administrative state, which is an unelected body that makes over 3/4 of all federal law. People think, and the Constitution requires, that law be made by Congress and by those people elect. But the reality is that almost all federal law is not the product of those we elect, but the product of the unelected heads of over 200 federal agencies. The day must come when the administrative state comes to an end, or the Constitution will not be capable of being restored.
So you would agree then with, I read once Professor Philip Hamburger had talked about administrative law in his opinion being unlawful. It sounds like you're concurring.
Very much so. Mm. I admire him greatly.
Very good. Well, Jonathan, you have good friends, okay? We appreciate that. And Jonathan W. Emord, constitutional law attorney, I can't wait to see your latest piece and what happened with the Supreme Court last night, but I'll certainly link to your townhall.com. Do you have a Twitter account, anything else people should know so that they can follow you?
I think I do. I have a social media person who puts everything I have on social media, and I think we're on all manner of social media. But LinkedIn appears to be, strangely enough, the one that has the most followers. I don't know why, but anyway. Huh.
Okay, well, they're probably not canceling you. That's why. So there you go.
Probably why.
All right. Jonathan, it's a pleasure talking with you as always. We hope to have you back. Take care. Be well.
Thank you. Take care.
It is 8:31 at KMED, KCMD. You're waking up with the Bill Myers Show.
This hour of the Bill Myers Show is sponsored by Glacier Heating and Air, making sense of the heating and air business.
If you're considering a new heating and cooling system, Glacier Heating and Air is working with Energy Trust of Oregon and can help you reduce energy costs and improve the comfort of your home. Call Glacier today for an estimate on a high-efficiency Trane comfort system, and we can also help you access cash incentives to make it easier to improve your home's energy efficiency. Stay comfortable and save with Glacier, an Energy Trust of Oregon trade ally. Glacier Heating and Air, your independent Trane dealer. It's hard to stop a Trane. Visit glacierheatingandair.com.
Buying trucks is different these days, but it's in times like these that there's a great opportunity. Hi, I'm Joel Nickerson, General Manager at Butler Truck Center, located at Butler Ford in Ashland. That opportunity is certified pre-owned trucks. Did you know that Ford's Certified Pre-Owned Vehicle Program guarantees 150-point vehicle inspection performed by our own factory-certified mechanics right here in Ashland? We go through every truck, making sure they meet the highest industry standards. And right now, today, we have over 20 certified pre-owned trucks right here in Ashland. Ford, Chevys, Toyotas, Dodges, all certified and ready for you. Whether you're helping, hauling, or just having fun, a certified pre-owned truck from Butler guarantees you'll be purchasing one of the best pre-owned vehicles in Southern Oregon. All makes, all models, certified pre-owned trucks right now at Butler Truck Center, located at Butler Ford, exit 19, Ashland.
All around the valley, you're in luck, man, because Butler's got your truck.
I'm Kevin Christman, running for state senate. and I'm here as a common sense conservative voice who listens to the people for a change. Like you, I'm fed up with the administrative state policy-making nightmare we face. I'm one of the few state Senate candidates who has received 100% rating from the Oregon Firearms Federation.
I'm a local bus driver here in the Rogue Valley.
Due to state mandates and government overreach, I was not allowed to leave the state to see my kids and grandkids for over a year.
This should not happen. I'm voting for Kevin Christman, State Senate District 3, because it's time for a change.
I think candidates should be elected into positions as opposed to being selected. I think the people's voice needs to be heard. I think these administrative agencies are sidestepping the will of the people, and the people's voice needs to be heard.
I've been in the medical profession for over 20 years, and I was wrongfully terminated last year due to the Oregon state mandates, and I support Kevin Christman for state Senate.
Paid for by the committee to elect Kevin Christman, state Senate, District 3.
The Bill Myers Show on 99.3 KCMD and FM 106.7 KMED.
Boy, that was good, meaty conversation with Jonathan Emord, that is for sure. Taking your calls on that or anything else on your mind. And let's talk with Brian. Brian, you wanted to talk about this Supreme Court happening from last night. Go ahead.
Yeah, nobody's really putting a name to it, but do you have to wonder very far with the newest Supreme Court Justice Ketanji Brown? You know, mysteriously this happens in court history. It never happened, and she's proven herself to be an anarchist and upset the apple cart. You know, she didn't have to do it herself, but a staff member or something.
Yeah, you know, I don't even know. The thing is, with Ketanji Brown being brand new on the court, I don't know if she would be willing to risk that reputation for that. You know who I would suspect more than Ketanji Brown would be?
Sotomayor.
No, not someone who's planning on staying. I would think it is someone like probably a member of Stephen Breyer's staff who is really irritated because essentially he was being forced out, right? And so the staffers that are working with him know that they're going to be out of a job pretty soon. If they're thinking, all right, scorched earth. Maybe, you know?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. Good point.
On
the other side, do you really think that this administration would even have the guts nor ability to hold Ketanji Brown liable for this if she's found or her staff is found guilty?
That I couldn't answer. That's a very interesting question. That would be a hot potato, as we say, in Washington, D.C.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Thanks for that, Brian. Let me talk with Michael. Hey, Michael, what's on your mind today? Go ahead.
Hey, good morning, Bill. Great show today.
Thank you. Glad you like it. What's on your mind?
Yeah, one of these things that just really gets me going is, you know, this constant, you know, if you're an oath keeper, you're supposed to be a potential terrorist in America today.
In the modern definition, yeah, it does seem that way.
Yeah, you know, and look under the, actually, it's a part of the DHS there's paperwork that says oath keepers are potential terrorists. So I'm like, I was never told to stand down when I left the military. Nobody was. So every veteran is a potential terrorist under this new thing. And, you know, I think we should just get rid of the oath altogether.
You do? Why?
Well, other than just violate it every 5 minutes. I mean, what are they doing right now? Trying to get rid of free speech? I think that's the oath violation. I could go down the list. They're going to have the UN response team for pandemics, you know, control our government now.
Well, that's why I asked. That's why I asked Darren Harbrick, though. You know, what he would do about that, because this is based on the Senate, and you know, if the Senate decides to essentially hand over our response to everything to the World Health Organization, then everything that the globalists wish to do to destroy what's left of the United States of America will be through medical tyranny. You could see it.
Yeah. How is that even a discussion? It's like beyond, we're so far past the, just get rid of the oath.
Yeah.
Because it just pisses me off when they piss on everybody's grave that gave their lives with the idea that they're fighting for our freedoms, which was all bullshit anyway, but no matter how you look at it, even if they didn't, you know, it doesn't matter, but it just pisses me off, you know. Just get rid of the oath.
Well, I would say I would say that's a big pebble in your shoe. It's a boulder in Michael's shoe this morning. Appreciate the talk. Thank you so much. Wow. It's 8:38. Hey, let me get Matt on. Hello, Matt.
Hey, Bill. So I haven't read, to be fair, I have not read this draft, but from the coverage of it, something very big is at play here. Mm-hmm. And besides the leak, besides the fact that this would say, you know, abortion law has to come from the states, that the Supreme Court's not going to decide on it, Alito's a smart guy. I think the intent on this all along was to set precedents that the Supreme Court is no longer going to be in the business of making law. I think he's been irritated about this for a long time, including what happened with Obamacare when you had Justice Roberts actually creating law by changing definitions without it going to the legislature to get passed.
And by the way, changing definitions on the fly.
Exactly, right? I mean, he basically created Obamacare. He created it. He knew what the wording in that tax versus fee was not constitutional, so he changed it to make it constitutional. Mm. And Mark Levin wrote a book years ago called Men in Black, and he was talking about the Supreme Court justice creating law. And one of the reasons that I could never support Hillary Clinton, because there was that open seat on the Supreme Court, is because I'm looking at every one of our constitutional amendments given to us by God or our creator and realizing that if they had the numbers, they would just begin suing for Second Amendment, First Amendment, Fourth Amendment, Tenth Amendment, and it would go up to the Supreme Court, and you would basically have rubber stamps that would just say, yep, sounds about right, nobody gets guns. Yep, sounds about right, nobody has free speech. Yep, sounds about right, nobody gets to go to church when there's a pandemic. One after the other, the Constitution would be completely undone. So in my mind, the abortion issue is important, of course, but I can't say it's a bigger issue because life and death is the biggest issue.
Yeah, well, let me ask you. I had mused this a little bit earlier because I woke up at 2 in the morning. I did not go back to sleep, and I was thinking about these issues here and this particular happening in the news. And there's a part of me that wonders if this is the lighting of the fuse that actually starts – a process of a breakup of the Republic, because there is such disagreement. There is never going to be agreement on this one. And I,
on abortion, you mean?
Yeah, on abortion. And there are some other issues in which there's never going to be an agreement. And I'm wondering if Alito, either in his wisdom, it's like, okay, it's going to go back to the states. It either goes back to the states and they learn how to deal with it at their states, or it's not, or they're not going to get along about this. We're going to see. I mean, will the Republic live or die? And I'm just wondering if this is just a trigger of sorts.
I don't disagree that could be a trigger. I guess my bigger point here is, you know, and actually your previous guest was alluding to this, and you have many times, quite frankly, over the years I've been listening to you, that everything is messed up. You know, it's no longer about three branches of government co-equal, balancing each other out. I think what Alito did here was bigger than anything that's been done in the Supreme Court in maybe 100 years. What he has said here is, you are not going to bring stuff to us anymore to create your law. You're going to do it at the state level, and this is going to be a precedent that other Supreme Court justices can point to and say, hey, well, in this particular case, the Supreme Court decided that these things cannot be decided at the Supreme Court level. Every single time you try to bring us something to get us to codify a law that you couldn't pass on the state level will no longer be passed.
Maybe in a strange way, maybe in counterintuitive.
Okay.
Now, I think you have a point there.
Going on here.
Maybe in a I'm going to take a counter. Maybe my thought about it breaking up the Republic, maybe in some respects, what Alito did will save the Republic.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
that's my point.
And that's just it because
the Supreme Court's not going to take these things anymore.
All right.
And this is your precedence for setting that up.
All right. Good point. Excellent call. It's 8:42 KMED KCMD. All right. We're going to break here for news in just a moment. I'm going to clear the calls. I'm sorry, because when I get back, it's going to be a Diner 62 Real American Quiz. 770-5633-770-KMED. Let's get you a $20 gift certificate. And today, we're talking about some U.S. history. Maybe you know, maybe you don't. That's multiple choice.
is your complete source. Whether you're a do-it-yourselfer or a builder looking to save on whole house construction packages. From floor joists to roof sheeting and every stick in between, American Lumber provides everything to build your project on time and on budget. American Lumber also stocks a variety of fencing and decking lumber. Plus, they're an authorized Fiberon composite decking dealer, a great alternative to the rising cost of cedar that's manufactured right here in the Northwest. Buy local, buy American. American Lumber on Avenue G in White City.
KMED and KCMD News, sponsored by Valley View Nursery, your only nursery with online pricing. Visit valleyviewnursery.com. They're closer than you think.
I'm Grace Smith with your NBC5 Morning News Update. A trail man is behind bars after a shooting in the Shady Cove area Sunday. Jackson County Sheriff's Office says a woman with a gunshot wound flagged down a Jackson County Fire District 4 fire truck. After the crew helped her, a Mercy Flights ambulance took her to a local hospital. The woman reported being shot at the 1500 block of Highway 227 in Trail. GCSO deputies responded to the property and contacted the uninvolved owner. The suspect was identified as 34-year-old Robert Carl Baker. He's facing multiple charges, including assault, menacing, and reckless endangering. And the Army Corps of Engineers facing a historically dry year in the Rogue River Basin. According to the Corps, low rainfall and lingering impact from previous drought years created a historically dry year for Lost Creek and Applegate Lakes. So water managers will hold a virtual information session today from 3 to 4 to discuss the challenges of refilling the basin's two reservoirs. And the Oregon Shakespeare Festival is in full swing, but there are some important COVID rules you need to know about. Now that it's May, masks are no longer required at all times. OSF says it'll now follow CDC guidelines and require masks if Jackson County is at a high risk level. OSF says out the door, all audience members, including children, must either show proof of vaccination and a booster at least 14 days prior to the performance date. Guests can choose to show a negative COVID test. For more information, you can visit OSF's website. That's a look at your morning headlines. For NBC5 News, I'm Grace Smith.
This hour of the Bill Myers Show is sponsored by Glacier Heating and Air, making sense of the heating and air business.
At Batteries Plus, we power family road trips. We power bedtime stories. We power our local hospitals. We power connections with friends. We do more than replace batteries and fix phones and tablets. We help our neighbors power their lives. How powerful is that? Visit Batteries Plus in-store, curbside, and online to save on boat, RV, and motorcycle batteries. For offer details and limitations, visit batteriesplus.com.
Spring into savings all month at the all-new Hyundai Medford. With gas prices rising, large SUVs and trucks will cost you thousands. Get more for your trade before it's too late. And drive home in your new Hyundai today. Do you have a job? Do you clear $350 per week? Do you want a new ride? At Hyundai Medford, we have hundreds of new Hyundais en route. Just because you don't see it on the lot doesn't mean you can't drive it home tomorrow. With zero down and zero payments for 120 days. All with a Hyundai Assurance and America's best 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty. If you're currently stuck in a loan or lease, Hyundai Medford can help get you released. With zero down payment and zero payments for 120 days.
This is Mitch Parker. If you're not 100% satisfied, come see me before you leave.
Hyundai. Medford.com.
Unapproved credit. Plus tax, title, license, and 150 title and registration processing fee. Not all will qualify. OCCU Credit Union negative equity refinance to new loan. Rebates and incentives to deal. Offers not in combination. Expires 5/6/2022.
99.3 KCMD. FM 106.7 KMED. And this is the Bill Myers Show.
Diner 62. Man, we've been talking about the burgers and the breakfasts and the lunches and the clam chowder and so many other things just south of White City on Highway 62. But you know, Greg also thinks he has the best taco salads in the valley. Try one. See if you agree. I've had them. They are delicious. Also fresh and delicious Cobb salads, Chef Oriental chicken salads, and wraps. So much more. Diner 62 just south of White City. So we have Jenny, who's holding here, wants to be the winner. How are you doing, Jenny? Good morning.
Oh, I'm doing good.
So, Jenny, it was, well, tomorrow in history is what we're talking about. May 4th of 1905. We officially started constructing the Panama Canal. It marks the official beginning of the second attempt to build the Panama Canal. The second attempt to bridge the Atlantic and Pacific Oceans will succeed. A few years earlier, though, the U.S. Congress passed the Spooner Act, authorizing the acquisition of the defunct French company that failed to build the canal after roughly 20,000 workers died due to tropical diseases and accidents. So a lot of people died on this. But initially, What country did the United States have to negotiate with and wheel and deal in the process to get the canal built? Was it A, France, B, Panama, C, Costa Rica, D, Colombia, or was it E, Spain? What do you say? France, Panama, Costa Rica, Colombia, or Spain?
Spain.
Spain. All right. It's as good as any, right? No, it wasn't the right one. I'm sorry, Jenny.
Okay.
It wasn't Spain. We'll go to John next. Hello, John. How are you?
Hi.
It's either France.
Oh,
good. Well, let's see if you can win. France, Panama, Costa Rica, or Colombia? Who do we have to negotiate with first to get the canal built? What do you say?
There's obvious choices, but I'm going to try Costa Rica.
You're going to say Costa Rica. No, not this time. Sorry, John. We go to Renee. Hello, Renee.
Hello.
It's either France, Panama, or Colombia. Which of those three do we have to negotiate with first to get the canal built?
I'm going to say Panama.
You're going to say Panama. No.
Ow.
Oh, no. We're at a 50-50 here. Calvin. Hello, Calvin.
Hello, Bill.
Remember I was saying it's 50-50 if we get to you, so it's either France or Colombia. One of the two. What say you?
I'm going to say Colombia.
You're going to say, was it Colombia? Yes. And you know how the international travelers always have to make it sound really good. Colombia. Yeah, it's true.
You did well.
Yeah. Thank you. After failing to reach a deal with Colombia to dig the canal, the U.S.-backed separatists in the Isthmus of Panama, and it led to the birth of the new nation of Panama, as well as the Panama Canal Zone, about 10 miles wide. And in October of 1913, after 10 years of construction had resumed, a telegraph from President Woodrow Wilson triggers the detonation of a dike. They flood the Culebra Cut, and then the waters of the Atlantic and Pacific were joined. And by the way, 5,600 workers died over the decade it took to build that canal. It wasn't as bad as when the Frenchies were taking care of that, but still, we had that canal until 1979 when President Jimmy Carter agreed to transfer management to Panama. Is that a good idea or not? What do you think?
He almost is still the weakest president.
That's a good way of putting it. Calvin, we're going to send you to Diner 62. Hang on. We're going to have fun. You're going to have a great time there, really. 7705. Actually, hold the calls. Hold the calls. I got to get a hold of Charisse here in just a minute. We got to save you some money here in just a minute. But then we'll try to squeeze some more calls in, really.
This is Herstal Jones.